The song, I was just like, I was really thinking about the song, Chains Are Broken. It's like, it's so fitting for like what we're going to speak tonight. It was just like, it was a perfect song. Because what I'm going to talk to, the title of the message tonight is Operation Recovery. Pastor Ray has been doing a series on Rescue 1910 based on Luke 19:10. Jesus said to seek and save the lost. All right, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And Pastor Ray has been talking about every week about how we go about and doing that. Last week he spoke about, he had like a gardening tools where one man plants and another man waters, but God provides the increase. Today we're going to be talking about after we rescue, there's the recovery period, recovering. And so first off, who are the lost? People who are in darkness, living a sinful lifestyle. What is God rescuing them from? Eternal separation from God, hell. How do we seek and save the lost? By sharing our faith through testimonies, prayer, and practicing God's will in our own lives. I was keeping with the theme of the fire truck. I was speaking to someone that was a fireman, and I asked him about like recovery and when they do a rescue mission and exactly like what's involved. He told me there's a process called the ABCs. Okay, what the ABC stands for is you check their airway, you check to see if they're bleeding, and you check their circulation. All right, because when they come out of the fire, or sometimes if somebody's drowning and they go in after them, you know, they come out with injuries. It could be if they need to be rehydrated, if they were in a burning building. It could be hypothermia if they were in cold water. Healed of burns. There's a lot of things that we need to be recovered from. So the fire department practices this thing called the ABCs, airway, bleeding, and circulation. Well, as Christians, when we go out and God puts someone on our heart to witness to, you know, to try to tell about Christ, to seek and save the lost, I came up with my own acronym for the ABCs. Acceptance. Accept people as they are without judging. B, a Bible. Give them a Bible to learn the Word of God. C, church. Help them to find a body of Christ to become a part of. So, the same way a victim has injuries, like I said, when they come out of, when the fireman rescues them, when Christ rescues us, we have injuries too. We have hurts, we have hang-ups, we have habits. All things that the world has given us, chains that the world has put upon us, addictions and stuff like that. So we take all these insecurities and all these vices that we have, and we bring them into Christianity with us. And it's Jesus' job to perform the regeneration. The regeneration process has to occur. As the Bible says, to beware of an adversary. Our adversary wants to keep us in bondage and in captivity. The last thing our enemy wants is for us to be rescued and set free from the chains he has bound us with. That's why I like to hear that song, Chains Are Broken. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 8. I'm going to be reading from verses 34 to 36. And one of the first Bible verses I ever knew was a guy in my neighborhood about maybe 30 years ago became a Christian, and he painted a big mural of a dove flying over a rainbow, and he had John 8:36 written there. It was the first Bible verse I ever really knew, and I really didn't understand it so much until, I don't know, maybe 15 years later or 20, whatever it was, when Christ saved me, and I understood the verse of just what it means to be set free. So if you had John 8:34, I'm going to just... Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, and they were asking him a lot of questions about who he was, and they were even, if you read John chapter 8, it says some of them were even like looking to plot his death. So Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, But a son belongs to it forever. Here's the verse that really means a lot to me. So if the son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. God does not intend to leave us where he finds us. The same way when the paramedics or the fire department, whoever it is, when they rescue us, they don't just leave us at the curb and say, go and be well. There's a process. The ABCs, they may have to perform CPR. They take your vitals. And then there's a whole process just to get you stabilized for the next phase of recovery. So Jesus does the same thing. He takes us as we are, but then there's the stages that have to come next. So God don't leave us the way he finds us. And what happens is the paramedics end up taking you to a hospital. Okay, that's the next stage. And like I said, with the ABCs, the C is for church. The church, if you look in your teaching outline for number one, in Operation Recovery, the church is a hospital to help us in our recovery. So as we seek and save the lost, we did the ABCs, we got them in church, but now what is it of the job of the victim? Okay, the ambulance just brought the person to the hospital, they're in triage, they're in the ER. What's the job of the patient? It's very simple. Let the physician do his job. Jesus is the great physician. Let's surrender our hang-ups, our hurts, our habits. Let's put it all at the throne of grace and let the great physician do his job, that we may be set free and free indeed. And the chains can be broken once and for all, because it will be a process. If we gave our life to Christ at the age of 25, that's 25 years of stinking thinking that we've had, that we can't expect to go away in 25 seconds. It can be a process. And the way that process works is by going through the stages of recovery. And we're going to get into that in a minute. So the church is a hospital. And if the victim lets the great physician do his job, that's exactly how verse 36 comes to pass. You shall be free indeed. Because that's Jesus' job. He's going to see it through to completion. Where he began. As far as some of the things that we bring into Christianity, sometimes they're very obvious. Sometimes the defects could be alcohol, they could be drugs, they could be gambling, fornicating, sexual addictions. The list is a mile long. But then you know what? There's a lot of little things that nobody even knows. Gossiping, okay? Judging others. Thinking yourself someone better than someone else. There's a lot of things. So in the teaching outline, I have a list there. Life's vices that God has rescued us from. Addictions, gossip, depression, anxiety, worry, doubt, fear, codependency issues. And the list can go on forever and ever. I think the list I have here could basically cover a great multitude of people. I know I can name about 3 or 4 of these that I have to battle sometimes myself every once in a while, because I haven't achieved it yet either. So we all have been slaves to one type of vice or sin, as I just listed here, at one point of the time. Many of these emotions we take when we become born again. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, they were talking about sexual adultery, actually, I believe, sexual immorality in there, and they were just talking about things that they can do and they can't do. And Paul said, I can do whatever I want. He basically said, I'm free to do whatever I want, but I will not be mastered by anything. What Paul was saying is, he has liberty, but yes, he also says all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. There can be, you know, you reap what you sow. But he says, yeah, okay, there's liberty to do certain things, but I will not be mastered by anything. When we become mastered by a vice, I'll keep it simple. If we get up in the morning and we get a headache because we didn't have a cup of coffee, guess what? We are a slave to that cup of coffee, because now we have to have a cup of coffee when we get up, whether we want it or not. Otherwise, we suffer from a headache. That is what addiction really is. It's when your body is dictating to you what it wants you to do rather than you dictating to your body what you're going to do, which is the way it was supposed to be. So Paul's saying, I will not be mastered by anything. That's why Jesus says in John 8:34-36, you will be a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Because we are all slaves to one type of sin or another. And that's what the recovery process is about. When Jesus rescues, we take all these things with us. But he does not intend to leave us in that. He intends for us to go to the recovery process. The church is the hospital. The Bible, learning the word of God, is part of the process. Having people accept you, you know, in the church. And when you talk to somebody, if God puts it on your heart to speak to them, you know, accept them from where they're coming from. You know, be all things to all people. So that's what Jesus was saying. In 12 steps of Alcoholic Anonymous, the fourth step is to take a personal inventory of ourselves. And at times, that's what we all need to do. We need to really take a good, hard look at ourselves, and not just the major things, but the little things, the things that we don't even notice about ourselves, and say, God, is there anything about me that I still need to bring to the altar? What have I not achieved yet? What do I still need to recover from? And Jesus will show you areas where he's still looking to take us from glory to glory. So now we witness to the person, we apply the ABCs, we accept them, we gave them the Bible, we invite them to church. Okay, so now the church is the hospital. Now what's the next step? Usually after you come out of the hospital, there's a physical therapy process of recovery. Okay, physical therapy is very important to recovery because that's where we work on the injured area to regain the strength so it can be as strong as it was before we got injured. God wants to restore us to the place we were before the world bound us with chains, bound us with drugs, bound us with fear, bound us with doubts, bounded us with worry, bounded us with insecurity, bounded us with codependency, bounded us with all kinds of stinking thinking. That's my new word. I've been using it a lot lately because I suffer from it a lot. Okay? All these crazy thoughts that go through our mind as a result of what the world has taught us. Jesus wants to bring us back to a place where he wants to break us, to bring us back to a place where he can rebuild us, restore us, regenerate us, a rebirth. That's what it means to be born again, a new creation, a new way of thinking with a regenerated mind, that we do not do the things the way we used to do, but we have a new outlook on life, a God-sent outlook on life. So that's where the physical therapy, like in Christianity, would come in. To help us to regain where God had taken us from. So if you look at number two, you know, when you come out of the hospital, you got treated for your injuries, but the job's not done. You go to physical therapy. That's because we are a work in progress. So that's number two on your teaching outline. We are a work in progress. We will continue to be a work in progress. If you look at Philippians chapter 1 is very, it's a very good verse on far as to show the commitment that God takes in us and how much he's going to invest in you and me. If you have Philippians 1 verses 3-6, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul's writing to the church of Philippi. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. What God starts, God finishes. The paramedics started a procedure with the ABCs. We started a procedure with the Christian ABCs. We brought paramedics to take you to the hospital. We invited you to church. Now, the process is going. Physical therapy. We take a good hard look at ourselves and we continue to work. The work in process. So it all flows. And in Christianity, what's the physical therapy that God wants to finish in us? He wants us go through certain steps. And the steps to recovery from the vices that God has rescued us from are, now we're going to take everything to another level. We're going to not just attend a church, it's about joining a church, becoming a part of a body of Christ, making a commitment now to say, I am going to not just come here, I'm going to belong here, I'm going to become a part of, I'm going to learn, I want to grow, and I want to get to the next level. Sometimes we take those hurts and hang-ups with us, and there's a little bit more than just coming to church. Sometimes we may need counseling, okay? Counseling, just to talk about things that you've been through, to try to get you from thinking a stinking thinking way to a more blessed way of thinking. You know, you could look at the same obstacle. I counsel here with the church. I can't change the situation, but what I try to do is change your outlook on the situation. How can we spin a negative into a positive? How can we achieve a goal here and work this out in a way that's going to be glorifying to God and to you and resolve the situation rather than create more drama? So counseling is part of the Christian physical therapy. Accountability partners, having a friend that we can reach out to and talk to and say, listen, can you pray with me about this particular area that I struggle with? To be accountable to talk to, that's part of Christian physical therapy and recovery and becoming free of the chains that the world has set upon us. When we're not sure what they are anymore, we pray for God to reveal our shortcomings, to show us. We practice that fourth step of doing a personal inventory. And once we see what these things are, even the minute things, part of the physical therapy, repenting, a change, not wanting to do it anymore, asking God to forgive us for the things that we've done, that we've grieved him for from the past lives. Then one of the most practical ways to really mature and grow in the Lord is to just practice the golden rule to the best of your ability at that point. Once you go out there, do unto others as you would have done to yourself. That's the best witness. Let people see the change in your actions, not just your words. Let them see there's something different about you. That's what the golden rule is about. I once heard someone say, I remember years ago, that God catches the fish, then he cleans the fish. And that's what it's about. He'll take you as you are. He'll take us a mess. He'll take us the way we are. But he doesn't intend to leave us a mess. He intends to clean us, to regenerate us, to make a new creation out of us so that we can go out and seek and save the lost and practice Luke 19:10 with somebody else. It's a revolving circle. That's what it's about. That's what the 12 steps are about. The 12th step is now going back and giving back as you know to other people and bringing other people in to have the same spiritual awakening that you had. So this is the process of being free. Now, the Jewish people in John chapter 8 that Jesus was talking to, they really thought that they had it. They thought that they had it going on, and they even told Jesus that, you know, we're children of Abraham. Jesus knew that there were some of them were plotting to kill him, and he said to them later on in John chapter 8, he says, if you were children of Abraham and you would do what God says, you would accept who I am. You would know me. But you belong, he went very bold there and says, you belong to your father, the devil. And what he was trying to say there to them was, they were in darkness. They were in sin. They were pious. They were righteous in their own eyes. But they were a mess. And God can't bless a mess. They still needed the ABCs, never mind the physical therapy. They thought they were physicians, but meanwhile, they were patients. And that's what Jesus was trying to bring out to them. When he told them, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. They were slaves to sin. They were slaves to the law. They were slaves to the fasting and the sacrificing and all these things that Jesus kept on breaking by healing on the Sabbath, which was against the law of the Jewish religion. So Jesus was going against all these things, but they were a slave to the law. They didn't know who God really was and what God was really about, that he desires mercy, not sacrifice, that he desires to bless and not curse. This is the attributes that God wants to fulfill, and they were missing it. So he was trying to explain that to them, that if you were children of Abraham, you would know who I am. So, as I shared before, going by me as an example, as being a work in progress, like I said before, stinking thinking. I still sometimes suffer from it. I have to crucify the flesh every day. And one thing I know, and one thing, I said this the last time I preached, I've gone through a lot of valleys. I gave my life to the Lord in November of 95. And I was 27, and I took 27 years of a mindset with me into Christianity. It's almost 20 years later, and I still have to sometimes get a lecture from God, okay? Because I am still a work in progress. I still have to grow in certain areas. I still have to learn to trust and not worry and doubt in certain areas. But I can say this, every obstacle, every valley, everything that I have gone through, every stepping stone that has come in my way, every stumbling block, God has seen me through victoriously. It didn't always happen in a day. There were some stumbling blocks I fought over for a year. Some that I had tears coming out of my eyes and anguish. Like, God, when am I going to get through this? But God would keep me there till I learned what I needed to learn. Till I was cleansed of what I needed to be cleansed of, whatever thinking or whatever process had to be broken. And as a result, you ended up recovery. I ended up learning more and more about myself and more of what I needed. And that's what Jesus was telling the Jewish people in John 8. There's always going to be things that we are slaves to that are sinful to God, and we're not even always aware of it. In 2006, God had put it on my heart to go to school for Christian counseling. This was before I actually was in Crossroads. And I was out of school at that point, close to 20 years. I had gone to school for Bible college, which, again, I was never a school person. It was never like my ideal, listen, I'm going to go back to school. But the Lord put it on my heart, and I went to school for theology, and then the Lord put counseling on my heart. And I'm going to tell you, if I never counseled nobody, the more I learned about myself and the issues that I had, the issues that I still struggled with, codependency issues, the need to be needed, the things that I was still, that I didn't even realize I still had, was just worth it itself. I realized I'm a mess. And you know what? God can't bless a mess to its full potential. That's what I mean. It's a never-ending process. We are a work in progress, and we continue to be a work in progress. There was times when I've done homework assignments and I was doing papers with tears in my eyes because I would see me in what I was reading about and my past, my childhood, and things that I endured. And I realized, wow, this is why when I do X, Y is still happening. Why hasn't there been a change in this area of my life? Because I haven't changed my outlook in that area of my life. And I started realizing things, and I started applying and reapplying what I was learning into my own life. And by doing that, helped me to have a better perspective of who I am, a better perspective of what God may want to bless me with and do for me. And while I started doing that, I came out of another valley. I ended up, the Lord ended up leading me to Crossroads from another church, which the first day I came there when we were in the school, I knew this was where God wanted me to be. The Lord eventually blessed me with someone in my life where I was able to get married and have someone that I could look at every girl I ever dated from the age of 16 and say, thank God I didn't marry that other one. I could honestly say that because that's what God is. God is good. He wants to bless you with the best. But before he can do that, we need to recover from all those hurts and hang-ups that we brought in with us. And like I said, it's a process, the physical therapy process now, as I spoke about. So we are a work in progress. In Luke, as it says, I thought I had, when I went to Bible college, I thought I was doing pretty good. I was saved about 10 years, maybe 11 years, whatever it was. I didn't smoke cigarettes no more. I wasn't gambling no more. I wasn't drinking no more. I was going to church. I was involved in ministries. I thought I had my act together. I was pretty good. You know, I almost fell into the same boat that these people in John 8 were talking about. Almost into the boat that The Pharisees were in, because they thought they had it also. And in Luke chapter 18, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read you this parable that Jesus told them about somebody that thought they had it under control, about somebody that thought they achieved what they needed to achieve in Christ, in God, and their righteousness in their own eyes became their biggest stumbling block. In Luke 18, chapter 9, Jesus tells a parable. He says, to some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went out to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I have. But the tax collector, he stands at a distance, for he would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For I tell you this, that this man, rather than the other man, went home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When the two men left the temple, the tax collector left forgiven. The Pharisee still left with the sin of pride wrapped around him. He was still blinded by his sin. He was still a slave to everything in the law and to the rules and to the regulations. And he missed what God was about. And it was going to keep him from achieving his full potential of what God wanted him to be. Whereas the tax collector knew what he was about and loved God for God's mercy. And that's what it's about. Knowing that I'm a mess and knowing that God wants me to be better and repenting of that mess. Trying to change and rejuvenate and recover from all the things that God has put on us. Pastor Ray spoke about Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a few weeks ago. Another man that said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and gave back, I believe, four times of everything he stole, if I'm not mistaken. That's regeneration. That's recovery. That's what it's all about. So, when we look at Luke 19:10, okay, rescue 19:10, to go out to seek and save the lost, we have to remember, and I like the way Craig Laurie puts it the best, I am a beggar telling another beggar where to find food. There is nobody greater than anybody else. There is nobody who has achieved more in God's eyes than anybody else, because those who are the servants and those who are the most humble are the ones that are the most great. In the early service, there was a guest speaker, and he was talking about something that kind of caught my attention. It caught Patricia's attention even more than mine. Speaking about a homeless guy, I believe it was, and he came across him, and he was talking to him, and the guy had basically had an accident in his pants. And he told him, he peed his pants, and he told him, I don't need food, I need pants. He says, that's what I need. And what the guy that spoke says, what he did was, he shook the man's hand, as if to say, I'm going to try to help you out. He shook his hand. He gave the man dignity. He brought himself down to his level to say, I am no better than you. He also spoke about another situation that he was talking to somebody. And he said to the person, we are all in need of a savior. And that's what it's about. This Pharisee and this tax collector are both in need of a savior. How much schooling the Pharisee may have, how much knowledge of God or the rules and the law the Pharisee may have, means nothing on judgment day if his heart is wicked and prideful. That is a sin he needs to still recover from. He's missing it. We need to look at others through the eyes of Christ. And a lot of times, the sins that we hold are those little ones. Oh, look at that one over there. Who do they think they are? Or somebody, you overhear a story, and you go out and you gossip, and you tell everybody, oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? These are sins. Oh, look at what that one's wearing. Look at what that one's wearing over there. Oh, this one's a drug addict. Oh, this one, he was a phone. This guy, oh, he's a Christian now. Look, he used to do X, Y, and Z. So what? I used to do A, B, and C. We all have a story. We all have a story. And that's what it's about. Bringing ourselves down to that level to say we all need a Savior. So when we practice Rescue 1910, go out and seek to save the lost, we go out with the attitude of a servant, of somebody that says, Jesus, help me, a man who needs bread, find somebody else where I found the bread. Okay? That's what it is. One beggar finding another beggar, showing another beggar where to find food. We are all in this together. So if you look at number three, I'm going to bring us to the third faction of the recovery. So we did the ABCs. We accepted them. We gave them the Bible. We invited them to church. They're doing the rehabilitation and the physical therapy. They're joining a church. They're going to counseling and accountability partners, and they're praying for God to reveal things to them. So now what's the next thing after that? We come out of physical therapy. The physical therapist gives you exercises to do on your own. We need to exercise. So we maintain, number three, we maintain a healthy recovery by exercising our faith daily. I remember a story. I remember once when I was 16, I joined my first gym in Brooklyn. It was a gym called Bath Beach. It was on Avenue U. Can't tell now, but years ago I was in really good shape. But when I first joined the gym, I was just a skinny 16-year-old. I didn't know nothing about really working out. I just wanted to work out. I was in high school, and I was lifting weights, and I couldn't even bench my own body weight. I think I only weighed about 180 pounds at the time. I don't know what I could have benched, right? And I was doing these weights. I didn't know what I was doing, and I was cheating because my body, it was too heavy. And that's what happens. When we try to do things on our own and we do it out of the order of God, we're cheating ourselves. And what happens if you're cheating when you're lifting weights? You get hurt and injuries come. And when you cheat and you do things out of the order of God, you get hurt and you hurt others. And the injuries can become resentments from other people, loss of friendships, loss of things. You know, there's a consequence to it. So somebody came over to me, an older guy, big muscular guy, and he came over to me and says, you know, the weight's too heavy. He says, I want to explain something to you, he told me. I'm 46. This was 30 years ago. I remember this story. He said, I want you to look around the gym. He said, everybody, because you think I'm big, you think I'm in good shape, but I'm in the gym. I'm here for a reason. The same reason you're here, to get in better shape, to get healthier, to get stronger. It doesn't matter what numbers you're doing. The numbers will come. The idea is to do it right so you can grow and you can get in better shape. So we're all here for the same reason. Don't worry about impressing nobody else that you're something that you're not, because you're only going to get yourself hurt. And I'm going to just bring that into the recovery thing now. Everybody just take a second and look around the church. Look around. We're all here for the same reason. I don't care if a person's been saved for 20 years, 30 years, or 20 minutes. We are all here to get a stronger, better relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are all here to have a chain that we might not even know that's wrapped around us to be set free from us. That is why we are all here today, because we haven't achieved it yet. There's always more room for growth. And I always remembered what that guy told me. And eventually, you know what? He was right. The numbers came. Sooner or later, I did bench my body weight. Sooner or later, I was benching more than my body weight. It happened through a process. And that's what this is all about. It's about a process of recovery. It's a process of letting go what the world has given us, seeking and saving the lost. Okay, now what? Coming to church, joining a church, asking God to remove those character defects. So now, what's the exercise program for a healthy recovery? If you look at your bulletin, having a relationship with God, joining church ministries. So now, we attended a church, we joined the church, okay? There may be ministries in the church. Let's get involved in the church. Let's take it to the next level. So we join church ministries. That also helps our relationship with God. Having a consistent prayer life. We talk to our friends daily. We interact with people every day. We need to interact with our God every day. If your vertical interaction is strong, your horizontal interaction is going to be even stronger, because it's going to be, God is going to bring people for us to seek and save the lost and practice Luke 19:10 on. He will put people in our path. So consistent prayer life is part of an exercise for recovery. Daily Bible reading. We were given the Bible during the ABCs. Let's read the Bible now. When we pray, we talk to God. When we read the Bible, God talks to us. Not judging others, as I did with as I showed you with the Pharisee looking at the tax collector. We are all beggars showing another beggar where to find bread. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Not one person is greater than the other. So not judging others is crucial, and it's sometimes it happens in the church so much. Humility. The tax collector just beat his chest. He couldn't even look at God because he knew he was a mess. Being humble and saying, you know what? I know I need a Savior. I know I need God. Let me show you what God has done for me. I'm not there yet, but you know what? This is what God does for me. Let me show you. Let me invite you to church. Let me taste and see that God is good. That's part of the exercise. Humility, to know that you have never reached where you think you've reached. Because as soon as you do, God's going to show you an area you still got work to do. The example, Job. If you look at Job, God took a lot from Job. But at the end, God showed Job that there was a lot that Job still needed to learn. Not gossiping. You know, if somebody is going to, accountability partner, someone's going to come to you, ask you to pray for them, or talk to you, or reach out to them, or whatever the case may be, keep it secret. No gossiping. Gossip is a sin that never stops, because you remember the commercial? You tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. Before you know it, three zip codes all know your business. It happens that easily. That's what's so dangerous about gossiping. It just keeps continuing and continuing, and the story keeps changing and changing, and it never changes for the better. It always gets worse and worse as it goes along. So not gossiping is an exercise for recovery. And as I mentioned before, the golden rule. Well, once we go out with the golden rule, what we actually are doing is we're fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is part of the exercise, fulfilling the Great Commission, which is going out to seek and to save the lost, to tell people that Jesus is God. Jesus has a plan for their life, to rescue them, to rescue others from the fiery furnace that they're in, from the hell that they're going to enter, the godless place that they're going to enter, to rescue them and to bring them now into the recovery stages of the ABCs on down the line. So all of us tonight basically are a work in progress, as I said. Jesus came, he seeked us all out, and he saved us from a life of eternal damnation. He took us with our vices. He took us with our hurts. He took us with our hang-ups. And as we continually ask God to help us with our shortcomings, He starts to take it away. And as I said, let's just keep remember that humility. Let's not become like that Pharisee and think that we achieved it, because Abraham never even really achieved it. Abraham is righteous and righteous and righteous. And the only thing that made Abraham perfect in God's eyes was his faith. He was perfect in righteousness through his faith. But by his own self and his own flesh, he was a sinner in need of a Savior as much as we are today. So I just want to take a minute right now, and everyone just ask yourselves. Let's just do a quick personal inventory. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive ways in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting." So let's just take 2 seconds and ask ourselves, do I judge others? Do I gossip? Do I feel that I'm all God wants me to be yet? Do I think when it comes to Christianity, I'm the only bottle of water in the desert? See where you're at. And you know what? Bring it to the Lord. And ask God to forgive you and repent of it. And God will. And it's all part of the process to the recovery. Before I close, You know, we're speaking about recovery in rescue in Luke 19, and like I said, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And one of the things that in the verse of tonight is John 8:36, and if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the verse I use because that's where God wants us to be. He wants to free us from everything, not just the obvious. On August 25th, we're going to be starting a Celebrate Recovery at Crossroads Church. We had one once before. We're going to be relaunching it on Tuesday, August 25th. I'm going to be leading the group. It's going to be on Tuesday nights. Monday nights, there's one on the South Shore. I'm going to try to cooperate with them and to have us to go with them to come support us. This way, for people that do need a support group, an overcoming group, there will be two on Staten Island, one Mid-Island, one South Shore. Preferably one day, there will be one on the North Shore. So I just wanted to tell you that if you know of anybody that is in need of recovery, that is in need of has an addiction or that has anything that they may need, you know, to overcome in their life, a chain that, you know, there's a broken link in the chain, so it'll come off, but maybe they don't see where that broken link is. If there is anybody you know, you can have them email me at johnp@crossroads.org, crossroadsnewyork.org, or you can email the church, care of Celebrate Recovery, and they will get to me. And I will contact you and I will reach out to you and to try to set you up with some, maybe where we could start working the first step together and we could bring you to the meeting. If there's anybody here that's also in need of counseling, like I said, it's part of the physical therapy, you can contact me and I will get in touch with Ray for you. And Ray will talk to you. If Ray feels he wants me to continue talking to you, then I will meet with you. But the church offers a lot of physical therapy. We offer counseling. We offer and Celebrate Recovery now. We offer a lot of things here to try to help you become all that God wants you to be. And it's up to us as individuals now to let the physician do his job, the great physician, and heal us and cause us to recover. Take advantage of the tools that the church is offering. So basically, the worship team could start coming up. I'm going to get ready to just bring it down and close in prayer. So on August 25th, like I said, it's Tuesday, August 25th, we're going to be starting to Celebrate Recovery. If you know of anyone that may be interested, reach out to the church, speak to me after the service, and it'd be great if they can come and we could just try to help others seek and save the lost and to be set free, like the song that was sang before, you know, breaking those chains. So if you're struggling with any codependency, if anything like that, like I said, just come see me. I'm going to close in prayer. I thank you all for coming. I know I'm not Pastor Ray. I will not even attempt to try to compete with Pastor Ray. But I pray that you were blessed by this message. And I pray that God will just use each and every one of you. Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to just preach your word tonight, Lord God. I ask, Jesus, that you will continue to set people free from their chains, Lord God. So who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I pray you will just break those chains, Lord Jesus, and that you will just anoint everyone that's here tonight and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.